You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to the Leadership Special, where Christian leaders find strength, wisdom, and encouragement to lead with grace, courage, and purpose. I'm Andy Peck, your host, and I've had the privilege of interviewing nearly 1,000 guests over the last 20 years on various aspects of their leadership activity and journey. So whether you have a leadership title or are simply aiming to use the influence you have wisely, I hope you'll enjoy this next conversation and join us again next week.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck.
Welcome to the show that aims to support and encourage Christians who lead. On this show, we've had guests remind us that all legitimate work can be offered to God. There is no sacred, secular divide as we offer our time and talents to be an influence where God has placed us. Well, my guest today is aiming to take the conversation in a slightly different direction by looking at the career choices Christians make in the first place. For if all legitimate jobs can be done in Christ's name, clearly some roles have a greater potential impact for God's kingdom. And my guest's name is J.D. Bauman, and he's the founding director of Christians for Impact, which provides advice and one-to-one coaching for those keen to be involved in work that has impact that is God-honoring. So if you're making career choices yourself, this will be a great conversation. If you're a leader keen to advise those you're leading, there'll be tools you can use. And if you want to change direction yourself but aren't sure how, there'll be much food for thought in what we say. So welcome, J.D., to the Leadership Show.
Thanks, Andy. It's good to be here.
So tell me, how did Christians for Impact come about, first of all?
Yeah, it came about from a simple conviction that following Jesus isn't just about praying the prayer and going to church, but it involves all of our lives, right? Especially that huge part of our life, our career, right? The average career is 80,000 hours, it's been cited. That's 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year for 40 years of our life. That makes it possibly the single greatest resource that we have to steward to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we sought out to help Christians to do that more thoughtfully and to do that more impactfully. Some approach careers like all are the same. Surprise, careers are not all the same. And it does seem like some have an outsized potential for serving others and doing good in the world. So we offer free one-on-one advising for Christians who are educated at university and interested in tackling some of the world's greatest problems and to do so in a maximally impactful way. We also offer free resources for that. I got involved in this because I was in a career that was at the time good for me. It was what we might call a good job. It was comfortable. It paid well. I was working on Madison Avenue in New York City, working in financial sales. But it lacked the meaning. It lacked the impact. And I just knew that God wanted so much more for me and so much more for the world through my work. And so that planted the seed that later became a nonprofit to help others in situations that I myself was in back about 5-10 years ago.
Thank you. And I think UK listeners will probably be thinking, hang on, 50 weeks a year? I mean, I know you guys work hard.
Sorry, you're coming from a US audience here, maybe 45. Yeah, not quite sure.
Whatever. No, but I mean, I didn't, that was just a sort of amusing quibble. But what does your leadership of the ministry look like, JD?
Yeah, so I lead a team that does advisings both in the UK and the US. We are a registered UK charity. We also had the Archbishop of Canterbury speaking at our conference last year, so we've been honored to partner with other organizations in the COE, but also in non-COE evangelical churches. We are the Jesus-loving type, and we partner with organizations that are interested in sharing about impactful career advising. I spend a lot of time talking to Christian experts in different impact areas to figure out what are the best ways to tackle global poverty, to tackle neglected tropical diseases. What are some of the most exciting efforts in missions today? And I project manage a lot of different content that we do. So we have a website that listeners can check out where we have a lot of free guides and resources. So there is some time spent in the details of, you know, the graphics and the kind of bringing a project from zero to one.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, let's get into a little bit of the nitty-gritty. You very kindly offer a free workbook for someone who just is inquiring. That's why I simply logged on and was able to download the workbook. Obviously, you start with the belief that the Christian character developed through following Jesus is the foundation to any impact. That's not irrelevant.
It's not irrelevant. I'm reminded of what Paul says in, is it 1 Corinthians, about, if we deliver our body to be burned, but we don't have love, then we're like a noisy gong, right? So the Christian conception of impact, it cares about outcomes. It cares about outcomes in the world. We want to see God's kingdom coming, as N.T. Wright talks about. It's the kingdom of the now and the not yet, right? Jesus ushers in a new kingdom, and this is a kingdom of good news for the poor, as it says in Luke 4. It's also a kingdom that proclaims the gospel of salvation of souls, right? And if we repent and believe into Jesus, that we receive the Holy Spirit and receive a new spiritual life internally that continues into the next life. But it's also about a transformation of the world around us. But that transformation begins in ourselves. And so discipleship that only focuses on love, acts of love outwardly, but doesn't focus on becoming more like Jesus, is an incomplete discipleship. And I think maybe you, Andy, or I can recall being in church contexts that only focus on one or the other. We want to say, no, there's no dichotomy here. Both are important. And love starts within, and then it flows without.
Sure. So, JT, in your workbook, you introduce a concept that may be new to some, but I think it kind of unpacks a little bit what we'll go into as we talk. And that is the words effective altruism. So perhaps you could explain that, and then we'll look at the elements of what you're doing that feed into that kind of idea.
Yeah, effective altruism. So it's two things. It's this idea. It's a really simple idea that when we're being altruistic, we should try to be effective in this. And specifically, how to be effective, we should use evidence and careful reasoning to find the best ways to do good, to love our neighbor. And it's also a movement. So it's a movement across the UK, across the US, of thousands of individuals who are really intentional about getting together and discussing what are some of the best ways to do good in the global poverty space, in the animal welfare space, in the climate space. Because a lot of people assume that all charities are more or less equal. Maybe there's some bad apples, right? We don't want to give money to the bad apples. But generally, if I'm giving to charity and doing good, it's probably just as good as anybody else giving to charity or doing good, or any other charity out there. All the charities are kind of more or less the same. But actually, if you look at the data and you look at in global health, the most impactful global health interventions, saving lives, they're not just a little bit better than average. They're way better than average. They're like 10 to 100 times more impactful than average in terms of you can save 10 to hundreds of times as many lives by prioritizing the most effective interventions like malaria net distribution or vitamin A distribution compared to really, really invasive or expensive surgeries. This isn't to say that an ineffective charity is bad, but this is to say that good stewardship involves discerning which are the most impactful, the most effective ways to use our resources, like good talents. I think God will ask us, what did you do with the resources that you were given? Did you steward those to serve others as best as possible? So the effective altruism takes that very seriously. And it informs a lot of our advice. We also run a community of Christians involved in the effective altruism movement. It's a largely secular phenomenon, but we think that Jesus has something to say about impact. And so we encourage Christians to remember scripture and remember Christ as they're engaging in these circles.
So JT, when many careers advisors look at someone's potential future, they will often argue, you need to follow your passion. That's often a phrase. And early on in certainly in your publicity, you say, actually, that's not what we should be doing. So perhaps you could unpack that for us.
Yeah, it's funny because we're in a time where many of us are privileged to ask that question, right? Many of us aren't privileged enough to ask, oh, what do I want to do? What am I passionate about? Let me go do that. Much of the world is still living in dire poverty. Like 600 million people are still living under 2 pounds a day. And that's not just a number. Like that's a mother that is wondering if she's going to have food to provide for her children the next morning, right? That's a father having to choose among his children who he's going to send to school. That's a teenager who has a life-altering sickness, who is taken out of school for months or is maybe on death's row and doesn't know if they're going to be able to afford the medicine. I mean, so in a world with so many desperate needs, in a world of such brokenness, I mean, as Christians, we just see the horror, like horrific effects of sin. Why do I have the freedom to just choose whatever I want to do to go do it? I don't think that's from scripture. I don't think that's from the gospel or reflective of the kingdom. I think that's actually more of a symptom of a Western secular society that champions individual choice and self-actualization, providing for the needs of the least of these. So passion does matter somewhat, right? It'd be silly to go do something your entire life that you absolutely hated. You'd probably not be good at it, frankly. But we know that passions are also very fickle, right? So in Jeremiah, we read that the heart is deceitful above all things. And when we see people called in scripture to incredible acts of service for the kingdom, Moses speaking in front of Pharaoh, right? Like Moses didn't have a passion for public speaking, right? Jonah sailing to Nineveh. I mean, I don't think he had a passion for sailing either, but I think oftentimes God calls us above our passion, and we find ways to be passionate about what God has called us to.
Your workbook looks at finding a problem that the reader cares about, and you've just outlined a little bit of that. So you list problems you believe deserve our attention. So perhaps you could outline what they are, and I'd be interested on whether you had other potential needs that didn't actually make the cut.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have 8 priority cause areas. These are 8 areas of brokenness that we have built up expertise in and networks of career advisors in. So if you're listening and you're like, yes, this is what I care about, feel called to tackle, we'd love to hear from you. We would love to provide free advice, prayer for your career, donations in this area. And these are global poverty, easily preventable diseases, missions, especially in the 1040 window and the most unreached places. Politics and policy, especially as a lever to tackle some of these other problems. Climate, animal cruelty, catastrophic pandemics, and nuclear security. So pretty broad range, yeah. But there's a lot we didn't cover, right, that would be on many Christians' hearts. And we don't say that these are the only problems that are worth tackling. We just think that these problems are especially important. At least they affect things that are clear in scripture that God cares about. God cares immensely about the poor, right? We read throughout scripture hundreds, thousands of verses about caring for the least of these, caring, being generous, caring for the sick and the poor. Preaching the good news of the gospel and the Great Commission in Matthew 28, that is just core to, I think, the New Testament vision. Stewarding resources well, from governance is really important for bringing about justice. We know that throughout the Old Testament, prophets spoke for justice, spoke for peace. And we know that Christians, especially in your country, have been just influential in establishing norms like anti-slavery with Wilberforce or even more humane treatment of animals. And then going on from God's concern for creation, right? And for our common home. And for animals, God cares about animals. And finally, with pandemics and nuclear risks, right? These are huge risks. These are potentially catastrophic. The last pandemic didn't go so well. A future pandemic could go worse. The biggest of all bombs is the atom bomb. And I think we're maybe a little bit sleepy about the risks that exist with that. So I think all of these affect things that God cares deeply about. As Christians, we can't sit idly by. But what's unique about these problems is there are clear ways that individuals can make an outsized impact on these. There's clear things that people like you or me can do with our donations, with our careers.
You're listening to The Leadership Show with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by J.D. Bauman. We're looking at his ministry, Christians for Impact, a group that's come together to try and encourage career choices, both those changing careers and also those starting off, to make wise choices, particularly ones that benefit the kingdom. I was interested in the workbook. Again, this may be something that you'd support but not have time for in the workbook. Sometimes we don't know what our skills and gifts and talents are, and psychometric testing is often used within a screening process for jobs. I don't know if that's something that you would advocate or support happening.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that psychometrics help us better understand what our skills are. And also, I think it's a skill to actually enjoy some kinds of work. You know, to sit around and do math proofs all day is not something that I personally enjoy. I think enjoying that kind of technical analysis is maybe in itself a hidden skill. And a lot of psychometric tests, whether they're Myers-Briggs tests or other tests, are gauging where our interests lie. Are we extroverts or introverts? Are we more thinkers? Are we more kinesthetic or doers? I do think that there's an important place for that, but it's also worth stating that a lot of these psychometric tests aren't super evidence-based. That's not necessarily a problem if you know their place, and it can provide a helpful framework and language that we can use to talk about our talents and giftings. I know that the Myers-Briggs language about ENFP or whatever it is, this is a helpful acronym that many people use. I'm curious, Andy, what's your Myers-Briggs?
Oh, I'm INFJ. I'm guessing you just gave me yours, did you?
At least when I was a teenager. I haven't done it since. Because I learned that actually the most predictive personality test for life outcomes isn't the Myers-Briggs, it's the Big Five. Have you heard of Big Five?
Yeah, indeed, I have. Yeah, that's...
Have you found that help? Do you know? I won't ask you for your Big Five scorings, but the Big Five, the way it works is you have five dimensions and you're ranked on a percentile relative to the rest of the population. And the two most predictive elements of Big Five for job success, or at least the number one is conscientiousness, which is there's an industriousness component, how hard you work, how much you enjoy working and being in focus. And then there's an organizational part. How well can you organize information and material given in front of you? And that is correlated with success in most careers. Creative careers are a bit of an exception, as well as just general intelligence tests are highly predictive. So tests for general cognitive abilities, IQ is a controversial one, but the social science suggests that is among the most predictive of job success. So this has a part. I don't want to, though, overstate how important this is, because other things are important. The world's needs are important. Prayer is important. Community is important. Your individual duty to care for your own family and to provide in a way that isn't just providing a paycheck, but also a presence, that's also important. So we've consulted with experts, clinical psychologists who have used psychometrics for hiring. And they'll tell me that for competitive roles at leading nonprofits, the psychometric test will be about a quarter of the application.
Okay.
But the rest of the application depends on fit. Does this person align with the values of the organization? It depends on other life experiences. Have they learned the skills that they need to do well in this role? So, we are looking to release more about Big Five, and there's a lot of good resources on that. If you're interested in that, I recommend a site called clearerthinking.org. They have one personality test to rule them all, is what they call it. It's an online quiz you could take for free that scores you on Enneagram, Big Five, Myers-Briggs, and shows you how you rank across all of them. So you don't have to take the test three times.
Oh, wow. That's quite enough, I think. A kind of more critical question. That there are those who say, look, hang on, this idea of measuring impact, you've talked about evidence-based, that's great, but in missions, for example, God enables his people to endure in an unchurched region where there seems to be little obvious fruit, particularly the 1040 window you mentioned. And so some would say, we're not sure that just because it's making an impact might be the right thing. You must have had that kind of question asked of you. How do you respond?
I think it's a discerning question. You know, I think Jesus in his parables often gives us apples to apples comparisons, right? He'll talk about seed being sown on good soil and yielding 30, 60, 100 fold, right? And you can measure the crop, you can measure the produce, right? Oftentimes when we're looking at other people's spiritual lives, it's hard to compare spiritual goods, right? How do you compare somebody making a profession of faith to somebody being baptized, to somebody doing either of these things in a culture very different from our own? So I think we have to make comparisons. And when we do, I think some are just much more impressive than others. I'm astounded that currently it costs only about £80 a month to support a church planter in rural India for an entire year. you know, a similar church planter in my home country would cost closer to $80,000 a year, right? So you're talking about 100x difference in cost. In terms of fruit, the number of people coming to profess faith in Jesus, I think the outcomes are often quite similar. You know, I think in many cases, the Spirit is working even more in the 1040 window and in some of these opportunities. So I don't think we can be super scientific about it. At the end of the day, these are some apples to oranges comparisons. In the ministry context, there are instances that are highly compelling about funding missions and church planting in neglected regions that work at a very low cost, that result in baptisms, people claiming to know Jesus in cultural contexts where that makes no sense, where the only reason they would claim to know Jesus is if they really had a life-transforming experience of God in Christ, where they'd be persecuted for doing that, in many cases in Indian communities. Doing this in a church context that costs a hundredth of what it would in my community here in DC or in yours or around London. So I find that compelling. You know, it's not a smoking gun, but I'm also very interested in very impressive acts of digital ministry and digital evangelism. At our conference last year, we had groups like The Way Studios. It's a UK group. It's actually now part of Church of England. And they do digital ministry. They have hundreds of thousands of youths who watch videos on Instagram every single day, watching messages about Jesus in a very contextualized, relatable way, pointing people to God and Christ. A ministry like The Way doesn't cost more than £1 million a year, but they're reaching millions of people every year. And, you know, I see some parishes that are, you know, paying £1 million a year just to keep the roof on top. And, you know, maybe they get a couple hundred visitors a year. And to me, this, you know, again, it's not a scientific thing, but one just seems much more impactful than the other. So I think with, you know, with these spiritual outcomes, we need to be humble, but I think we also need to be discerning and realize there probably are big differences.
Cool. As we close, JD, your workbook also has something to say to those who are high earners, but maybe the work itself has little obvious kingdom impact, but they could still be impactful if they're investing their money in the right places.
Yeah, 100%. So earning for the purpose of giving that money away could be a super powerful calling, right? Even Paul is a tent maker, right? So Paul coupled his ministry with resource earning on the side. I know people who work in finance who give away 80% of their income or more to charities serving the least of these, to advancing the gospel globally. And in many cases, they can empower much more good through their giving than they ever could do as an individual. The ministry that I discussed working in rural India is run by a fellow named Ed Michelson, who is a doctor who was able to, and he still does work 2 days a week. And that actually for a while was funding a lot of church planting in India. He himself wanted to be a church planter in India, but he realized he doesn't need to go himself. His money actually is the comparative advantage. It's not his time, it's his money. And just by working faithfully as a doctor, which in itself is an important career, he could earn money to give it away. I think there's a risk here, which is if we kid ourselves into thinking we want to earn money to actually steward it well, when really we just want to earn money to enjoy the power ourselves. But I think a Christian approach with power is to approach power and influence not for ourselves, but to steward to serve others, is to pursue paths that we can steward for the least of these. And I think, I mean, but the numbers are huge. If you are earning even, you know, this would be a very good salary anywhere, £200,000 a year, and donating 50% of that to the world's most effective global health charities, you would, through your donations, save every single year approximately 30 lives that would otherwise be lost. But if you told me that working at Google would allow you to donate enough to save a bus full of children every single year, I would say that might just be a calling right there, right? Yeah. And I think so many of us just aren't recognized for that kind of a calling, even though the impact is so high. So that's called Earning to Give. We recommend that for some of our readers. And you can do that for saving lives. You can do that for preaching the gospel more in words. You can do that with creation care. And the numbers are just astounding, the good you can do by giving to effective charities.
Well, as we close, just to mention, you have a conference coming up in London which obviously we've got listeners around the world, but many will be UK-based. So tell us a little bit about the conference.
Yes. If you're a Christian wondering, like, where are the other Christians who care about social impact, who care about making a difference for the least of these and using their careers to do that, either directly by working for a charity or indirectly by working in policy, in civil service, or in a business and using some of your funds to give, to be a gospel patron, to be a generous giver. We would love to have you at our conference. We're bringing together about 200 impact-focused Christians in London. We're going to be in central London. And it's going to be a packed two-day event, November 22nd to 23rd. We'll have Christian experts talking about all of these cause areas I discussed in the maximum, some really maximum impact pathways for those. We're also going to have career guides and workshops to help you figure out the next few years, make a five-year plan. If you're 22 and you're listening to this podcast, or you're 62, you know, you still have time left in your career. And I think this would be a really encouraging space for you. So, you know, tickets are just £45. So really, really not expensive. We don't make money on this. We just want to invite the right people and cover some basic costs. So November 22nd to 23rd, the Christians for Impact Conference.
Well, JD, it's been fantastic to chat with you. What an exciting new venture that you're involved with. And this is going to, as you say, impact people both locally and further afield. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you for the work that you do and Premier does, and would love to support however I can. Thanks so much.
Thank you. That was my conversation with JD Bauman of Christians for Impact. JD is j.d.bauman. Christians for Impact. And their conference coming up, again, the dates 22nd to the 23rd of November. It may be that you are a Christian in leadership and aware that perhaps there are those who are not called to what you might call, in quotes, Christian ministry, but are certainly wanting to make a difference where God has called them. So it may be that as they start their career, they could benefit from this kind of ministry. Or maybe you're looking for a career change. So you can go to the website, christiansforimpact.org, and see the resources, download the workbook, and see what you think. So this is Andy Peck. Thanking you for your company. Looking forward very much to the next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.